Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Melanie Cole's Health Radio.
Prostate cancer, something that men, as they get older, are more at risk for. But whatever type of prostate cancer that you have, whatever your risk factor, there are ways, there are treatments, such new advances in treatments, and even some lifestyle modifications that you can think to. And we're also talking about the watching versus the waiting in treatments. My guest today is Dr. Ash Tiwari. He's a world-renowned urologist and prostate cancer specialist. Welcome to the show, Dr. Tiwari. So let's talk about prostate cancer. First of all, as men get older and they get BPH, I mean, like every man gets an enlarged prostate, but that's not the same thing as cancer, yes?
You are absolutely right, Melanie. Men get prostatic enlargement very commonly, but 1 in 7 will get a prostate cancer.
So 1 in 7, it's so, so common. Tell us first the symptoms, because I want to get into more of the treatment and lifestyle, but what symptoms would men notice?
The catch 22 about prostate cancer is we don't want to wait for the symptoms to come, because by the time symptoms come in, it may be a little too late. But what are the symptoms of prostate cancer? They are kind of overlapping with that of the BPH. They may have an issue with the urination. They may have some blood in the urine. They may have some pains and aches. But the message here is symptoms are a little too late. So we should not be waiting for symptoms to come. Rather, we should be proactive looking for prostate cancer. Melanie, you mentioned you are from Chicago.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Do you know that? What's the population of Chicago? I can help you. 2.7 million.
Yep. Okay.
And do you know how many men at this point are living with prostate cancer?
Oh, boy. I would have to say
2.9 million.
Really?
If they want to move to one city, they can entirely occupy the whole city of Chicago. And
wow.
Some of them will have to go to the suburbs.
Wow, that's amazing. Dr. Tiwari, now, men, they hate to go see their urologist, okay? We women, we shove our men in kicking and screaming so they can go get that digital and take the simple PSA, which still you're using as a gold standard, as a marker. But what about some of the other, we look to genetics nowadays, Dr. Tiwari, and the PSA3 and some of these others. Where do you see this going? Is PSA still what we want to shove our men in to see you, to get the digital, to find out so that you say we don't want to wait for symptoms?
So the key is we need to understand a little bit about the PSA and what it has done to us. Before 1990, when we were seeing patients with prostate cancer, 85% of them, they had cancer outside the prostate. Cancer had already left the main organ. PSA led it to be picked up much earlier, and now when we see the cases, 85% of them, they are literally curable. But that has resulted in a second set of problems. And the second set of problem is that 50% of the patients who we diagnose now, they are the indolent cancers. We don't really need to jump onto them. But we need to be sure that we are really dealing with those indolent ones and not the hiding more aggressive cancer somewhere else in the prostate. So PSA is a very important test, but needs to be interpreted very well in conjunction with other exams, other testings, factoring in patients' age, factoring in patients' race and ethnicity, looking at how big the prostate is, and see how the profile of the PSA is going up. And as you mentioned, PSA3, there are PHI tests, there are 4K scores, there are imaging, MRIs, and all those things are coming together, including testings based on the genetics, that we can make a better decision as to who needs a biopsy. The question was that the PSA was resulting in so many alarms that about 1.2 million patients were getting biopsies, and about 280,000 of them were being diagnosed with cancer. So about 700,000 to 800,000 biopsies were being done, which really could have been avoided. And that is where these newer advances are helping, so that we do the biopsy, but only when it's likely to be positive.
Wow, that's great. And I'm so glad that you pointed that out and gave us kind of a post to look for toward the future of this. Now, watching and waiting. Some men, as they get older, their doctors may say, well, let's watch it for a little while. To me, Dr. Tiwari, that I am not a waiter. I cannot wait. I can't wait for test results. I can't wait to see if it gets worse or spreads or becomes some big cancer. What do you want men to know about this type and if it's encapsulated? When do you watch and wait, and when do you aggressively treat?
So it doesn't need to be two kinds, watch and wait versus aggressively treat. There could be a measured activity, and we call it active surveillance. So bottom line is we need to be first sure what we are dealing with and what we are dealing with in terms of the grade of the cancer. Unless and until cancer is Gleason 6, it's not a candidate for an watch or wait or any kind of conservative treatment. If the cancer is trying to come out of the prostate, what we say it is T3 cancer, it's not a good candidate for watch and wait. So who is a candidate is a patient with a Gleason 6 whose PSA is not very high, preferably below 10, who doesn't have too many areas of positive cancer of Gleason 6, who doesn't have too much of a volume of the cancer in their biopsies, who doesn't have an scary MRI or a digital exam. That is a good candidate for what we call active surveillance. It's not watching. It's not waiting. It's actively keeping an eye on things. So as a doctor, I do the surveillance. I do the watching part of the deal. But the patient has to do the active part of the deal. And by active, I mean, and I know, Melanie, you like exercises, so men have to exercise, men have to manage their weight, men have to lose the gut, men have to manage the metabolic syndrome, men have to build their muscle mass in the core, and they have to eat right, avoid sugar, avoid animal fat, avoid red meat, take some blueberries, take some pomegranate, and eat some extra mushrooms, all natural. And that is the active part of the discussion. And we do the surveillance by routine biopsies, exams, and MRIs. And if something seems to be progressing, there is no doubt that patient needs a treatment. And then two different kinds of treatments are there. They can have a combination of hormone and radiation, or they can have a surgical treatment. Depending upon what we are dealing with, we have a fine-tailored treatment regimen for different kinds of cancers. So don't be totally scared of not doing something in some patients. I think it's a right thing if done right.
So when we talk about hormones in combination with radiation, do those hormones, what are they intended to do? We only have about a minute and a half left. And Dr. Tiwari, you're absolutely fascinating to speak with, and I'm so glad you were with us today. But what are those hormones, and does it mimic kind of what women go through when we're having menopause? I mean, when you hear hormones, that's what you think.
I think it is kind of same, and men develop a special respect for women in that way. That what you go through, that's exactly what they go through, that hot flashes, they come up, mood swings, they come up, sometimes gynecomastia comes up, sometimes the bony calcium and the mineral loss comes up. So that may be the reason why people who exercise and who build muscles, who really focus on dealing with this, they bounce back better than anyone else. So really, I think it's not an easy journey for men to go through the hormonal treatment. And I must say that not many people need hormonal treatment. Small fraction of patients who have a very high cancer, a cancer which has already gone a little bit farther than we like, they are the ones who need hormones. And I must also add one more thing.
Okay, we only have 30 seconds.
There are tremendous advances happening in the chemotherapy side and also in the vaccines that may minimize the need for hormones or in combination so that the lesser doses are needed. But this is something which we need to manage by the lifestyle changes and by dealing with the experts like you who can tweak their exercise habits and the food.
Absolutely great information. You're listening to world-renowned urologist Dr. Ash Tiwari, and that's what we're doing here. We're getting the best experts in the world. Thanks for listening. This is Melanie Cole.